Praise the Lord. We have our dear Han family with us. Brother, if you notice, unusually today we have sung many Indian language songs. It was not planned, but probably God wanted you to hear Malayalam songs, a Tamil song, a Hindi song. And all our praises to God. I hope you understood some part of it. There were some translations, but I believe God has a purpose. Remember yesterday, you were saying that you haven't traveled to other states because you love Kerala. But God is also giving you a taste of the other languages which praise God across this land. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Beloved pastor, he's online. Beloved Sneha, I don't know whether she's online. Yes, she is. Okay. Beloved sister Shabna, Sharon, I don't know who else is unwell and not able to rejoice with us here physically. Of course, they'll rejoice online. God's presence is there also. But I pray and I ask that in Jesus' name, you will rise up from your sick bed by his precious blood, and that you will rise up. And Shabna will cook food at home. Sharon will rise up and do her things well. Pastor will rise up and do everything normal. In Jesus' name, we can do that because by his precious blood, which is shed on the cross, we have that privilege in humility, not in pride, to receive healing. Why? To serve him for his purposes. Shall we just pray? Lord Jesus, we thank you and praise you. Hallelujah. Glory to you, Lord. We come to you because this gathering is yours. You have ordained churches to meet. You have called out people, your ecclesia. And Lord Jesus, we want to thank you that you have given gifts to your church for building up one another, to give glory to you. And you have given us gifts to expose hidden sin in our life, to encourage when we are confused, to give grant healing so that we will rise up physically and do things. Lord, we want to thank you for the extraordinary power of resurrection that dwells within us and the church. We thank you, we pray that we will fear you for who you are in its real sense, so that our lives in response will say hallelujah. Thank you and praise him and give glory to him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brother Bernard, this Malayalam song, the first two lines, can you just recite? You don't need to sing.
Etra Nallavan. In Yesu Nayagan.
Those who do not know Malayalam, Etra Nallavan. How good is my Lord Jesus. How good he is.
Yedu Nerathum.
Yedu Nerathum. At all times.
Nadathidunnavan.
He makes us walk. He is the one who guides us at all times. Not just, you know, at some time, but at all times. He is the one who leads us in our path.
Enniyal Thirathu.
Enniyal Thirathu. Enniyal
Thirathu. Nanmagal.
Counted. If you sit to count, you will not be able to count. And many we forget. God has to remind us, did I not do this to you 2 years back? Did I not do this 10 years back? Did I not do this yesterday? So enniyal thirathu, with blessings that are uncountable, you cannot really count. If you think you are counting, you have missed a few.
Enne snehichavan.
Enne, all because he loves. All because he loves you. All because he loves. Need further definition for it. Whatever love that you know in perfection, because he loves, all because he loves.
In his nature, hallelujah.
In this nature, therefore, hallelujah. Hallelujah is just a form of praise and say, oh God, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. I'm so grateful.
എത്ര നല്ലവൻ എന്നെ യേശു നായകൻ, ഏത് നേരത്തും വഴി നടത്തുന്നവൻ, എണ്ണിയാൽ തീരാത്ത നന്മകൾ തന്നവൻ, എന്നെ സ്നേഹിച്ചവൻ. ഹല്ലേലൂയ്യ.
Praise God. I just want us to reflect, because as we worship God together, as we sing songs, children also should know, when the Holy Spirit inspires, it has great meaning and sense. And he will speak through songs. He will speak to those who worship and pray and praise. He will speak through the message. He will speak through the breaking of the bread. And he will teach us, because this place not because it is Shamma, not because it is this house, not because it is pastor's house or his father's house, because when God chooses to build his church, he is the head of the church, not man. And therefore, we have great joy. Therefore, we have great hope. Therefore, we come to him saying, heal me, O Lord. Therefore, we come to him saying, Lord, teach me, O Lord, because wisdom, he is the wonderful counselor. You teach me, Holy Spirit, you teach me. Therefore, we can present our children before him and say, Lord, give them wisdom in this world of darkness. Let them be wise men of God, right? Wise women of God from childhood. We come together with great hope and expectation. And very often I do encourage saying that when we come to church, we can be selfish. We can be selfish. Because when I come here, I come with the desire that, God, you must touch me even if you don't touch anybody else. You understand, it's a good selfishness because that desire is needed. We need to thirst for God's holiness. We need to thirst for God's love. We need to thirst for his presence in our life first and then pour it out for other people. Sometimes we end up wanting to pour it out for other people again and again and again and forget about ourselves. We need to overflow. What fills us overflows as blessing to other people. Otherwise, it cannot be blessing. Because God is interested in each one of you. When I preach, you know whom God is interested in? He's interested in me. He's interested in my life. George, I give you a chance to preach. I give you a chance to look at my word. I give you a chance to communicate my love to his people. Where is your heart? Where is your mind? God is interested in me. God is interested. God is interested in each one of you. Not your spouse, not your child, in you. And so we have great expectations from God. And it is good to have great expectations from God. You should not have expectations from men because men are just ordinary people. But you should have the thirst and the demand and the need for good things from God because God gives only good things. So may God take all glory as I continue to share a few thoughts that cross my heart. I believe that will edify you and strengthen you. Children, also please give attention as much as you can. As I was standing there was a thought that crossed my heart. Just yesterday, I was sitting in the bedroom. We were on the laptop, and I was talking to my daughter, second daughter, and then we started talking about how bank accounts are set up. I wanted to set up her bank account online. And then at some point, I verbally spoke to her the PIN of my bank account. And then she said, shh, the media is listening, meaning the laptops can listen. The mobile phones can listen. It is true in one sense, you know, because there is software that is running behind the scene, which, kind of listens on these things. Wow, that's a dangerous thing. But the point is, the thought that crossed in my mind is if you turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 32. I'm going to ask anyone to read from the audience. Just read as loud. Anyone who has got it. Matthew chapter 6, verse 32. Anybody who's got it. Just read aloud. Shout it out.
For the pagans,
yes.
Run after all these things.
Yes.
And your heavenly Father knows.
Yeah. Okay. Just want to let you know. I'll read it again. For the Gentiles, meaning the pagans, those who do not know this true God. They seek these things. If you look at the context, it's talking about seeking, going after basic necessities. In the sense, you become worried about all your necessities. What will I eat? What will I drink? What will happen to my job? Tomorrow will I get? Will my salary be enough? Can I survive with children? Can I do this? And what's happening in this world? What about the politics? Everything and so on and so forth. Okay, but here in this context, talking about just basic necessities. Don't worry too much. Or don't worry about what you shall eat, wear, or live. What shelter. Food, clothing and shelter, basic necessities. Now, he says that, and then he says, there are many things there. This is not the passage I'm going to share, but just want to share this thought. Our God knows, for the Gentiles seek all these things, but your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Okay, so I was just comparing with the media, which listens on your conversation. But we have a God who knows before it comes as part of your thought. All right, before you think it, our Lord knows beforehand that you need it. All because of the love that we spoke about, that we sang about. God knows, Deepthi, what you need for tomorrow, day after tomorrow, next year. Beforehand, he knows, even before you thought it. The Lord Jesus Christ has that in mind. Can you imagine that? I just wanted to say that because I felt so happy for a moment when that thought crossed my heart and my mind. You know, there's one more verse in Psalm 139. If somebody could read that, Psalm 139, the first few verses. Psalm 139. First, 1-2. 1 and 2, can anybody read? Children also, quickly, who gets it? You just shout and read it. Yes. 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 All my ways. Oh Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far off. You search out my path and my lying down, and you are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, oh Lord, you know it altogether. All right, so I just want to encourage you as I begin to share a few other things. To say here, children also, adults likely, older people, all of us who know the Lord, remember, before a thought comes, before a word comes to your lips, the Lord Jesus who loves you, he's already planned wonderful things. And he knows what you need. He knows what is the best for you. And so we come to him with great expectations and praise him and give glory to him. So praise the Lord. Yesterday we had a youth meeting. I'm going to put some of our youth on spot. Okay, so I'm just going to ask. We learned from Romans chapter 2. So anything that comes, Deepthi, Angela, you're there. Where is our Benjamin and others? Where are they? They're not here. Nathaniel, Benjamin? Oh, yeah, okay. Nathaniel is. Benjamin, anyone? Top of your mind, quickly. The whole chapter, what was it about? Or just one thought you want to say? What one verse that sticks out to you? Yes. Okay, God shows no partiality. Anything else? Angela, Benjamin? Anything that comes to your mind from chapter 2 of Romans? No, I'm asking the youth. They were there. I know. I'll ask. Yeah. Benjamin. Nathaniel? Where is Nathaniel? Okay. Where's Johan? Oh, can you call them in, please? Yeah, yeah. They need to be here. Yeah. Tell them to come in. Okay. It's good for us. It's good for all of us. I'm not putting them on the spot. They know I love them. So, okay. Anything else that comes to mind? Yes, what matter? What is? Say it again. Say it again. Yeah, that's okay. Whatever you said. What is? No, that's okay. Whatever, your language. Yes. Okay, that is the last. That's a summary of that that chapter. We'll come to that. What matters is not the outward circumcision, but the inward circumcision of the heart. And the context is comparing the Jews. He's telling the Jews, you know, the chapter 1 of Romans is talking about in general how the world has become what it is today, right from the time of Scripture and earlier. How did it end up in this mess? Which I think every honest person must have to agree that we are in a mess. We are in a broken state. We are in a wicked world, which we do not, it ought not to be like that. But it ended up, and it's ending up even worse. How did we end up? That is chapter 1. It is not God's fault, it is our fault. Very clearly it mentions there. It is because this God who loves and cares, who created the universe and created you, knit you together in your mother's womb, that God has a concern and care and designed you for an excellence, but we have missed the mark. That's called sin. And because of sin, and we not loving to come back to him, when we reject him, we end up to what we are today. That's the state of chapter 1. And in chapter 2, he turns to the Jews. In chapter 2, he turns to the Jews and says, hey guys, I'm paraphrasing this. Hey guys, don't think that you have everything. Don't think that you have law. You claim Abraham as your father. You claim that you have the law of God and you are chosen people. All that fine, but hang on. You're the same. Because you do things externally as a hypocrite. Right, the people who don't have the law just do what comes to them. But both are the same. Both have wronged God, right? So to the Jews, if you read that verse in Romans chapter 2, the last two verses, somebody can read that. Maybe Anjali yourself, you can read Romans chapter 2 and the last two verses. Yes. 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 Okay, so he's redefining. He's telling that don't think you're a Jew because your father was a Jew. No, no, no. That's not the definition God has given. Chosen people, Jews. What God has said is, and the, you know, those of you who may not be familiar with it, God had given a covenant through Abraham, and as a sign of that covenant that it is God's people and the Messiah is going to come someday, which happened 2,000 years back, that he gave a covenant of circumcision. On the eighth day, every male will be circumcised. That is not to save them, but just a sign of the covenant of God with them, saying that I have chosen you, and I'm going to, through you, I'm going to bless the nations, right, as a covenant of that. But over the years, just like it'll happen to any one of us, it became just a ritual. Oh, I go to church every Sunday, so I'm holy. No, no, no. Who said? I don't miss any Bible study, so I'm doing good. No, who said? No, no, no. It doesn't matter. I have another person who is not going for the Bible study regularly, but his heart is right with me. I am pleased with him, not with you. You understand? It's not hypocrisy that God wants. God wants a change of the heart. When you shut the door and you're alone with God, what's happening between you and God and your heart? That is what matters to God. Isn't it beautiful? On one side, it is frightening because we don't want that. But on the other side, isn't it beautiful? Isn't it so beautiful that God looks at my heart, not out of my outward appearance? What a wonderful God. What a just God, impartial God. Oh, I am so happy. And when you come to Christ, you know that it is best for you because, you know, when David did something wrong in God's sight, and then God said, I'm going to punish you. God gave him three choices. All are punishments. God gave him three choices. And then you know what he said? Anyone who knows the story, I'm not going to that passage. He chooses the punishment which comes directly from God's hand, not from men. The others were, you know, he will punish him through people. Through, you know, people are going to judge him and punish him. And then the last was, God is going to give him the punishment. He says, it is better to fall into the hands of God than into the hands of men. So even in comparative punishment, that's the best prayer to pray. Oh Lord, you are just and you are righteous. You will deal with me only exactly what you should deal with me. And you are kind and you are gracious and you are loving. So Lord, you punish me. You correct me because I know that you will do it lovingly. Don't tell my father to do. Don't tell anybody else to do. Right? It is the best thing to hand over to God and say, you punish me, or you take care of me. Okay, coming back here, so he addresses the Jews, and the last of it he's saying is, for he is not a real Jew who is one outwardly, nor is true circumcision something external and physical. It is not a ritual. It is not anything external. He is a Jew who is one inwardly. The real circumcision is a matter of the heart, spiritual, not literal. And his praise is not from men, but from God. You know that in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus chides the Pharisees, the people who had the law, people who knew the law. And he says, you hypocrites. He calls them hypocrites. And he says, why? Because there's a dichotomy. They fast and pray so that people will see them. They pray at marketplaces so that people will think that they are prayerful people. They give alms publicly so that people will appreciate them. They do things so that people will look at it. We also do that many times. We ought not to do that. We should stop that. Our praise has to be from God. Oh, it is okay for people to praise you because obviously when you do things right, people will praise you. But we don't look for that. Our praise is from God alone. You came to church today. For whom? Did you come because your husband pulled you, wife pulled you, sons pulled you, children pulled you, somebody shouted at you? Or you came because your heart moved you to come and you wanted to seek the Lord? Yes, then God will bless. God will give grace. God will strengthen. All right. There's one more verse which I wanted you to look at it in chapter 2 of Romans and verse 4. You remember verse 4, what we said anybody? Maybe this time Benjamin or... Yeah. You remember verse 4? Yeah. Okay. You remember, Johan or Nathaniel, you remember what we spoke about that? Just what comes to your thought. You know that? Verse 4. Chapter 2, verse 4. What was the thought that we had? Okay. Let me read it, okay, again. Or do you presume upon the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience? Listen carefully. Listen carefully, beloved. The next statement is, do you not know that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? Oh, there is a mistake there. It should have been like this. Or do you not know that God's wrath, anger, punishment is meant you to lead to repentance, right? That makes sense, right? We've heard like that mostly. God punishes so that, you know, you'll repent. No, that's not what it says here. Of course, God does that. When we don't listen to him several times after several warnings, God obviously will punish because he's a loving father. In fact, he says that. He says that in Hebrews chapter 5. He says that, saying that, you know, you are legitimate children. That is why you fathers know how to discipline your children, don't you? Because you love them. But you do it for a short while, your whims and fancies. But I'm a loving heavenly father. I will do it for your best. And therefore, don't consider it lightly when God disciplines you. So God does discipline. But this is so beautiful. What does he say here? Why are you presuming upon the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience? We sang about it. Nanmagala ketti paadi, kartavinte kshamaye petti paadi. We sang about all that. But why? It is meant to lead you to repentance. To draw him, draw yourselves closely to the Lord. And if there is anything that is a block, to repent. That is why God is kind. That's why God is blessing you. That is why God is good to you. You understand? Not just his punishments. So remember, brothers and sisters, isn't it beautiful to know that God's kindness is meant to lead you and me to repentance? We don't think of it often. Maybe you got a new job. Maybe you have a dream fulfilled. But remember, that is meant to lead you to repentance so that you set your life again a little more right before God. You don't need to wait for a punishment to do that. You understand that? God is a loving heavenly Father. Can you imagine the character of God? This is how we worship, beloved. Children, you should know how to worship God. When you think about these things, that's called meditating. Thinking very clearly when God reveals things from his word, then your heart will pour out for you to be able to say, oh Lord, you are so good to me. I want to say hallelujah to you. That is worship. Oh Lord, you are so kind to me. You have not dealt with me. You're supposed to be punishing me, but you have not punished me. Lord, I don't deserve it. Hallelujah. Praise you. Master, I want to change. I want to correct my life. I want to set right. God's kindness and forbearance, his goodness, is also meant to lead you to repentance. All right. We'll turn to a similar thought that is there in Isaiah chapter 48. We'll just turn to Isaiah chapter 48. I have a few more thoughts from that. It is kind of related to hard-heartedness, hypocrisy, right? Not turning and repenting to the Lord. It is related to that. Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 17 and 18. Let me read this. You listen carefully. Thus says the Lord, Isaiah chapter 48, verse 17 and 18. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Okay, this is written in the Old Testament context to his people Israel. But you can definitely apply it to yourselves because it's the same God yesterday, today and forever. And he deals the same way, though he has separate plans and purposes for each one of us. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, which is our God. I am the Lord Jehovah, your God. I am the Lord, your God, who teaches you to profit. Isn't it wonderful? We can add this line in some of our management books. Maybe the sixth principle of successful life or the seventh habit or tenth habit of successful life. I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit. You want to profit? Come to me. You really have profit in every area of your life, not just business. You'll have profit in your family. You'll have profit among your children. You will have profit in everything. It is the best business deal that you can have. And God is using those terms here. He says, I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit, who leads you in the way that you should go. Oh, that you had hearkened to my commandments. God's people rejected the very one who can give true profit, the very one who can actually show you the best for your life and open best paths for you. We have rejected. Oh, look at, sometimes, you know, scripture is full of emotions, full of emotions. It's full of emotions, humor, laughter, everything is there. God himself is humorous. Paul is humorous when he writes. Isn't it beautiful to see? Humor itself is something that God created. Otherwise, we don't have humor. Humor is a God-created capacity. We should learn to be humorous and laugh and rejoice in the right sense, right? Just like we sing. God is humorous and God expresses his emotion. Oh, that you had hearkened to my commandments. We try to make it in English language with an exclamation mark and say, oh, and all. But just think for a moment. What would be? Can God speaking to us is saying, oh, ayyo enda koche, my child. It's like a heavenly father reaching out his hand and saying, why, just listen to me, you know. Oh, I'm yearning for you. I'm weeping for you. If only you would listen to me. Don't you understand? I can bless you. I can turn your lives. I can transform your lives. I can bless your children. I can give you the best that you want. If only you would listen to me. Why are you not listening to me? Why are you still running away from me? Why are you still hypocritical? Oh, if only you would hearken to my commandment. I will teach you to profit. I will teach you. It will be the best. You will see. For sure. I will show you the way that you should go. I will show you the way that you should go. Then your peace would have been like a river. Not like a stream. Not like, you know, water that comes through a 2-inch pipe. Like a river. Your peace like a river. God is promising that. Peace like a river. And your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Your offspring would have been like the sand and your descendants like its grains. Their name would never be cut off or destroyed from before me. This promise is to Israel. I mean, is in the context of the Old Testament. But remember, again, you don't need to leave it to Israel. It's the same God is the one dealing with you and me. The same thing applies to us. The same thing applies to us. Oh, would you not hearken? Why are you shutting your mind to God's word? To his ideas, his viewpoint, because he's the one who created. We want every other viewpoint in this universe. Our friend's viewpoint we want. We want philosopher's viewpoint. We know even the wicked person's viewpoint we are happy to take. But the viewpoint of scripture, the one who created you. Psalm 121, if I am right. Where does my help come from? Comes from? Yeah, from God who is the maker of heaven and earth. See, God is appealing to you. He could have said, my help comes from God who is the helper. Or my help comes from God who is wise. No, he knows that to our hard head and hard heart, he has to remind us that, no. I own everything. I own you. I created it. What are you claiming? You think you have created yourself? No. You know, that is pride to think like that. Imagine a Tesla Optimus robot or whatever turning to Elon Musk and saying, hey, I don't know you, man. What do you think? I came from Mars. And then what will Elon Musk say? He will laugh. What is this foolish guy? I only created you. My engineers coded. They put you together. But the robot looks at him and keeps laughing and claiming that, no, I came from Mars. Is that true? No, it's false. Yeah, there's no use. It's false. It's not going to help anybody. Sometimes we are like that with God. We think that we have created our own life. We think that we own our life. We think that we can ordain our future. No, you cannot ordain. Today, who was, I think Johanan was mentioning, right? Our feet don't slip, actually. Do you know that? The scripture says that. It will be too, you know, only a humble heart will be able to listen. Only children will be able to receive such truths. Saying that our feet does not slip. When you climbed up the stairs, Do you know why you climb the stairs? It's not because you are smart. It's not because you are an engineer. It's not because you are a doctor. It's not because you are a child. It's not because your muscle, you did, you went to the gym. It is because the same God who created you ordained that today every nerve of your leg, every ligament, the synovial fluid, the right angle for it, everything will work perfectly today. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who created you, sustains you, and said, my child, climb up the stairs. We don't recognize, right? And inside that, he commands and says, let the heart not stop. Let there be no block in your heart. Let there be no block in your leg. Climb, my child. But you know, when we think about it, only when we get sick. When we have a block in the heart, yes, oh Lord, you're wonderful. When we don't have, God's kindness and goodness is meant to lead you to repentance. Our blessings are supposed to draw us close to God, not punishment. Not his anger. To my children, I'll tell you, why should they wait for my punishment for them to correct it? It's the most saddening thing to happen. It has to happen because we have to discipline our children. We have to scold them. We think it's pleasant for us to do that? No. The best thing is to see without having to discipline them, without having to raise the rod, without having to tell them in strong language, when they listen and they just do what the Father wants them to do. Isn't that the best thing to happen? Why don't we turn to our Lord? Why don't we turn to God's word and obey him and listen to him? Knowing who he is, knowing who he is, he will teach us to profit, and he is the one who will lead and guide and bless us. Now, a few more things. In chapter 48, if you look at it, chapter 47 is talking about Israel's enemies, Babylon and the others. He's going to judge wicked. No doubt, he will judge wicked. Wickedness will be judged by God. You might want to argue saying that, oh, today he's allowing wicked people to flourish. Oh, fine, yeah. God has told us why. We know it. You don't need to look at that. Don't become jealous of that. Anyway, their end is written. We know. So you don't need to worry about who is flourishing or not in wickedness or corruption. You need to be worried about the God of justice to whom I belong. And then you have your future also written down for you. It will be a blessing. He will teach you to profit. He will lead you to the way that you go. And so we cling on to his word by faith, and we cling on with willingness to obey. We don't need our parents to tell us. Right, children, youngsters, you don't need your parents to be telling you to draw close to God, because the Holy Spirit himself is telling you to grow close to God. And if you respond to that, you will become a teacher to your parents. You will be a teacher to your teacher and pastor. God will bless you to do that in a right sense, in a good way. You will know better than anyone who is preaching to you. Would you turn? Or are you going to wait for your father to push you or your mother to push you? You want to wait for them to tell you to repent? No need for that. So chapter 48, you will see, is God addressing the obstinate heart, the hard heart of his own chosen people, who have seen all his miracles, who have been blessed abundantly, who have seen all the mighty things that God did, who has everything written down for them, but still hard-hearted. A few things, how God again emotionally is trying to express a hard heart. Verse 3, chapter 48, Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 3. Can somebody read it? Yes. Yes, I foretold the former things long ago. My mouth announced them and I made them known. This is God speaking. Yeah. So suddenly he took action. He, you know, God took action and they came to pass. What he foretold. What he already told them, this is going to happen to you. And then it happened. Yes?
For I know how stubborn you are.
Because I know how stubborn you are. To his own people. He's not talking to wicked people. He's talking to his own chosen people. I know how stubborn you are. Yes?
Your neck muscles
say, I am. Yeah, he has to qualify it. It's not enough. It's not sufficient. As though it's not sufficient for God to say you are a stubborn, you know, child of mine. He has to explain it further. How stubborn he says... can you say that again, brother?
Your neck muscles are like iron.
Your forehead like brass. Sometimes, you know, we chide and we say, you have a coconut head. You know, it's so hard to crack. You're not repented. You're not willing to listen. You're a hard nut, we say, right? That is simpler. God is speaking in much more technical terms. He's saying that you're stubborn out of concern. Your neck is like an iron city. You know what happens? This neck. Proverbs, Solomon talks about that. If you keep this neck like this in pride against God, you know what will happen? It will break. There's no option. You hold your head without bowing down to the master. You hold it, your neck is going to break. It's kind of a picture of what discipline is looking like, right? So the humble thing, the wonderful thing to do is to bow down before him. Your neck will not break. And exactly what God wants will happen and bless you, right? But God is saying you're stubborn. And your forehead is like brass, nothing penetrating it. Yes, then? So therefore, I told you these things long ago. This is one of the functions of prophecy. If you want to know why God tells things beforehand, 700 years before, Israel was captured we know the history. By the way, I just want to tell you, today when you read the newspapers and look at world history and things that are happening, you know, I forget who is that. There was a famous theologian who replied to a man. Somebody questioned him saying, can you tell me give me in one word the proof for the existence of God? In one word. And you know what the person answered? He said, Jews. J-E-W-S. You only need to look at the history of the Jewish nation of Israel and what happened for you to know that there is a living God. You know why? It says here, I foretold you. Go ahead and read that again, brother, verse 5. Therefore, I told you these things long ago.
Before they happen,
I announced them to you.
So that you could not say,
yeah.
My image brought them up.
Yes. Yes.
My wooden image and metal rod ordained them.
Yes. So God, you know what? For his poor children like us, who are not willing to believe what he says, will come to pass. He's telling them, he's saying that I declared them from old to you. Before they came to pass, I announced them to you. You know why? To prevent something. What? Lest you should say, oh, my idol did them, my graven image did, my molten image did. Even in such a circumstance, we are willing to negate God's prophetic word and to say that, no, this is because of climate change, or I'm adding some things here, okay, to say you understand what I'm trying to say. We will attribute it to everything else other than what God said. This is the reason. This is the consequence of what has happened in your life. And this is the consequence. But we will attribute everything else other than that and still run away from God. That is our heart. That much obstinate we are. And we need to repent and turn to God. Because see, he says, you know why it says, lest you tell, the idols will tell? Because idols cannot speak. Right? There is no history of any idol prophesying, saying that tomorrow this will happen, day after tomorrow this will happen to the nation of Israel. So God is saying, I made sure that I told you hundreds of years before what will happen if you continue to be like this. And suddenly I came and did what I told you. Right? You saw it. I did it so that you will not claim that somebody else did it and still disbelieve me. Now he switches over. He says one more thing. Listen to this. Verse 6 and 7. The heart of God. Look at it. Brother, read.
You have heard these things.
Yes.
Look at them all.
Yes.
Will you not admit them?
Yes. Will you not admit them? Okay.
From now on,
yes.
I'll tell you a new thing.
Okay. Now he's switching over. In case you will not believe prophecy, you will not believe that what I tell you will come to pass, it came to pass and you reject it, saying that somebody else did it. Let me do the other way around. He said that I will do new things. No prophecy. You will not know in the past. I'll do new things. Okay, go ahead.
From now on, I'll tell you of new things.
Yes.
Hidden things unknown to you.
Yes. Hidden things unknown to you. Prophecy is something that is known to you. For example, God said this will happen. It came to happen. Oh, I knew. Rest. We read it in scripture. We knew, Lord. Yes?
They are created now.
Not long ago.
You have not heard of them before today.
You have not heard of them before today. Yes.
Yes, I knew them all.
Yes. So that he is preventing another thing. So that you will not claim that, oh, I knew them already. You know why? God is not just making fun with us. He is trying to convey his heart to his people whom he loves and cares and redeems, whom he wants to bless. Look at the heart of God. He is saying, just to convince you, I prophesied, told you many years ago, so that you will know that I am living and I made it to pass, and still you rejected me. Then I did other things which are new. I never told you about it before, because you will say, I already knew it. Some excuse you will have. I'm doing new things today. Kaisa bhi ho, whichever way it is, you will still reject me. No. Repent. God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance and to come closer to Him. Verse 8. You have neither heard nor understood. Yes. Yeah, from of old, your ears have not been opened. For I knew how treacherous you are, to his people he's saying, and that from birth you were called a rebel. Verse 12, can you read from verse 12 also? Yeah, listen to me, O Jacob, and Israel whom I called.
I am he.
Yes.
I am the first and I am the last.
Okay, I am he, I am the first and I am the last. Why does God need to remind us that he is God? Imagine that your boss in your company, every day morning has to come, guys, I am your boss. I'm your boss. There's some problem, right? Why does he need to say that? Or your principal of a school has to come every day morning, you know, wear a principal badge and then come and put a principal sticker and say, you know, I'm your principal. Class 10C, I'm your principal. Oh, something is wrong, right? What is wrong? They ought to know that he is the principal. He does not need to tell you. And you will face consequences if you do not acknowledge that. You cannot claim, right? Oh, principal, I didn't think you were principal. That's why I behave like this. No, it doesn't matter. You'll get your punishment. If before people, you cannot escape, with God, a living God, you can escape. Why is there no fear of God? The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Not middle of wisdom or, you know, addition to wisdom. Beginning of wisdom. Everything else is foolishness. God calls it the foolishness of the world. The wisest, the best, the most intelligent. Yet God calls it foolishness if it has not begun with the fear of the living God who created you, who created the universe, who sustains you. Because that is the truth. Anything else, you are believing the false lie. It's fine if you want to do that, but there is a consequence. There is a consequence. The wrath of God. The wrath of God. Right? He says, I am the first and the last. But God, so kind and gentle to us, he keeps reminding us, I am the Alpha. I am the Omega. I created you. I knit you together in your mother's womb. Won't you listen to me? Call on to me. I will answer. Again and again he has to tell. We ought to know that. We ought to behave that way. We ought to respond. God, you have the best design for me. You have the best plan for me. Lord, you will take care of my children, my plans. I know, I have tasted. And that's called testimony. Beloved, none of this is true if we don't have testimonies. We can stand. That's why we need to stand here and talk about how this living God has been working in your life, proving. You prove his word through your life. Not by our efforts. God will just work it out. And then you just blurt it out. You just shout it out. That is testifying to God's glory. You don't cook it up. You just say, you know what happened? This is what God did. And the Lord, you know, God's just like he said in the word. Just like he said. He said he'll take care of my family. See, he's taken care. 25 years he's taken care. You want to come? Listen to me. I'll tell you how he's taken care. I'll tell you. Then you will not be have any more doubt on that. That is testimony. And then we keep testifying. I am he. I am the first. I am the last. My hand laid the foundation of the earth. What a pathetic situation. If you want to call it pathetic. He has to remind her. I am the principal. I am the boss. He laid the foundation of the earth. And my right hand spread out the heavens. I am the one who put scientific laws to hold things to. You just discover. You know what science is? Science is just discovering how God's created universe functions. And we have the privilege to do that. We have the privilege to call it gravity or call it this, that, and have formulae and things like that. That's our privilege. Our privilege to use the very God-given capacity of our brain and to do things. In fact, I was just listening recently, I don't know whether it's Satya Nadella who said that. He said, you know, he's not very pleased with the word artificial intelligence. He said, I wish they called it different intelligence. Because his point is, you cannot really replicate your intelligence, which is God-given. He didn't say God-given. He said that it's a misnomer, because people are misunderstanding, thinking that artificial intelligence means exactly my brain and how it functions. No. In fact, he also says that we use the word learning for our AI, that we teach AI to learn. He says that is also a misnomer, because it's not the kind of learning that we learn with our brain. It's a kind of different thing. We just use that term. So what his point was this, that because of using this misnomer, lay people begin to think that here there is an exact replica. No, you cannot. It's not exact replica. So similarly, we need to understand that just because we know science does not absolve us accountability to God who put that science in the first place there. You need to acknowledge the Creator. Of course, you enjoy studying his creation scientifically. Do your PhDs. Find out. Give glory to him, because you are finding out, how did you put this thing together? Oh, how are you hanging the earth in nothing, in space? I don't understand. It's so wonderful for me. Let me try some mathematical equations. Wow. God, did you think about this when you created it? And we'll keep finding out more and more, and we give glory to God all the more. All right. My hand laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand spread out the heavens. When I call to them, they stand forth together. As I conclude, let me just again read verse 17 and 18. Your Redeemer, thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit, who leads you in the way that you should go. Oh, that you had hearkened to my commandments. Then your peace would have been like a river and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Your offspring would have been like the sand and your descendants like its grains. Their name would never be cut off or destroyed from before me. One last point before I close. Jesus Christ of Nazareth on the cross redeemed us. From what? Okay, sin? Yes. Death? Okay. Yeah. Yeah? Okay. Whose judgment? Yes. Yes, I was looking for that word. The wrath of not Satan. You understand what I'm trying to say? The very same God whose love story we just read just now. Some parts of his love story for his creation. Some parts of that love story he just sang those two lines. Remember, that same very God, his wrath is what he has saved us from. It is not devil. Of course, he destroyed the works of the devil who uses our sinful nature. But remember that God has saved us from his own very wrath, which is a necessary component of his justice, infinite justice. Okay, it is good that we think that, because, oh Lord, you are a righteous God, you are a loving God, you are a kind God, you give me a long rope and you keep calling me to your side, you keep telling me that I am principal. You understand? Okay, I am your God. Turn to me. Listen to me. Just stop and listen. Think. Turn to me. Repent. The same God has a day when he is going to close everything. All wickedness. All unrighteousness. Everything is judged. Is already judged. And one day he is going to close. Nobody can escape that. Jesus Christ on the cross paid the price of his wrath that was supposed to be on us in due course of history. And he has given it as a free gift to us. And because it is free, because of the nature of his love, it is free for anyone to believe. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Can you imagine a situation where God forces you? That's called forced conversion. God never does forced conversions. I wish sometimes. When I think about my children, I think, I wish God does forced conversions. How long will I wait for them to proclaim Jesus in their life and get baptized. Oh, I wish God would force them. I would want to force love on them because we love them. But our God is infinite love, infinite justice. And so he will remind. He will speak to you. He will give you chance after chance after chance. He will bless you and bless you and bless you, even if you are wicked, just for you to turn to him and listen and receive him. The same chapter of Romans chapter 1, verse 16, somebody can read. That's what Dr. Call just said. Can anybody else read? Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Not 16, 18.
But God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness.
Here, this is the NLT Bible, so it's kind of a little smoothened out, but the actual word is wrath, the wrath of God. Can you think about, you know, the difference between anger and wrath, just so that you understand what it is? What is the difference? What could be the, can you give me a picture of the difference between wrath and anger? Children, anybody? Have you seen the wrath of your father? No, I don't think you have seen. Anger you might have seen. Have you seen the wrath of your mother? Maybe you have seen that, but you have not, you have not seen that, you have seen the anger of your father. Do you know the difference between anger and wrath? You can think. It's a measure that is much, much more than that. The best example on that is, where is Roshan, you here? Oh, Roshan is over. Roshan's dad once explained to me when I was growing in faith, and I still remember that, I'll never forget that. He said, wrath is something like this. Think about a dam, a check dam. So there's water filling on one side. Okay, that's the anger of God. He's angry, but he's not doing anything. He's warning you. The water is rising, 1,000 feet, 2,000 feet. And then the wrath of God is the dam breaks. What happens? So you cannot reverse it. There's no reversal to that. It's destruction. But he is righteous in doing that because he has given enough warnings. He has given enough grace. He has blessed. He has loved. He has talked. He has given you evidence after evidence, but you rejected. He has reminded you that I am he. I am your father. I sustain you. But you rejected. You had 100 other reasons. Anger. And then the dam breaks. And then it's the wrath of God. Is it difficult to understand? No, he's a righteous God. Does it make him a bad God? No. You will expect that from a righteous judge, won't you? But you would expect, isn't it amazing that his love keeps on waiting, his forbearance keeps on waiting, and he says, turn to me, my child, turn to me, my child, turn to me, my child. So God, we have escaped not from Satan's hand, yes, we have in due course, but we have primarily escaped from the wrath of God himself, his judgment. That is why it's so precious. That is why we just receive it with thanks. You and I have not earned it. No credit to us. But all credit to Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who willingly gave his life for you and me and rose up from the dead and sitting on the right hand of the Father. And he has chosen us, separated us, gifted us, blessed us so that we will shine as lights in this perverse and crooked generation, starting from your own family. Your own home will be saved because of you. Your own home will come to the light because you are the light there. You might think that you are insignificant. No! It is because of the Holy Spirit who lives in you, and you just keep repenting. Turn to him. Set your ways right. Love his word. Repent. Don't be a hypocrite. Be genuine. Clear with your faith. And when you keep doing that, you will see one by one, your entire family will be saved. Your generations will be blessed. And then we will testify. And when we testify, we will humbly know, oh Lord, I am not worthy of this, but I am so happy. And I am really proud in you because your word, you told me it will happen like this and you made it happen. And I will testify and I will be a blessing, not just to my family. Now it will overflow to the church. Then it will overflow to the city. Then it will overflow to this nation. I'll be a useful citizen in this nation. Beloved, let's pray. If you would just bow down with me. Reflect on these things. And may the Holy Spirit continue to encourage, strengthen, and teach you on all these matters that we shared. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you. Glory to you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, thank you, Lord. We say hallelujah and we sing hallelujah because you have been too good to us. we have received grace upon grace, blessing, mercy, a long rope. You have been gentle with us. Oh Lord, you have blessed us financially, physically. Oh Lord Jesus, we thank you for the health that you have given to us today. And we thank you and praise you. Help us to turn to you, O Lord. Help us to hear your voice, because you are the one who teaches us to profit, and you are the one who leads us in the way that we should go. And we want to thank you and praise you. Lord, let every doubt, every proud obstacle to the knowledge of Christ be taken captive under the feet of Jesus Christ, so that doubts will flee. O Lord Jesus, uncertainties will go in our life. Holy Spirit, you would do. Clarification for our true, genuine questions will be there, O Lord. And Lord Jesus, healing for those who are sick. And Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord. Wisdom for those who are asking for wisdom, because you give generously. O Lord, courage for those of us who are frightened and weak in many ways. Thank you, Lord. All because of you, O Lord. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, you will continue to give us sense and meaning of what we read and try to understand. All glory to your holy name as you continue to build up your church. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.